Hello and welcome back to Actual Books Audio. My name is Chris Taylor, and today we're discussing the book Smart Trust. The book is written by Stephen M. R. Covey, and the summary was written by Joel D. Canfield. Quote, "In today's networked world, trust has become the new currency." Comes from the introduction of Smart Trust. Would you loan me $20? Well, unless you know me personally, probably not. When you buy a book at Amazon.com, do you take the great deal offered by brand new seller number 37 and get a like new used copy for half price, or do you pay full price to get it from Amazon? Take a look at Transparency International's Corruption Perceptions Index. Chart the gross domestic product of each nation and note the near-perfect correlation between trust and prosperity worldwide. From individuals to companies to entire nations, trust affects not only how we do business, but how much business we do. If we are perceived to be trustworthy, business is streamlined. There's less muss and fuss when both players trust. Warren Buffett has closed multi-million dollar deals literally on a handshake because there was trust on both sides. Introduced in his first book, The Speed of Trust, Covey's concept of smart trust aims to help us find a human and rational balance between our innate desire to trust and our learned fear of being taken for a ride and then asked to pay the fare. The golden egg for this week's article, Trust Changes Prosperity, Energy, and Joy. Quote, "He studied how other banks set up their loan operation, and then he set up a bank, the Grameen Bank, that did its exact opposite. Contrary to almost everyone's expectations, an amazing 98% of Grameen Bank borrowers do pay back their loans. To date, the organization has made more than $6 billion in loans to more than 8 million borrowers." Comes from page 7 and 8 of Smart Trust. Distrust slows processes. It requires more paperwork, more checks and balances, more conversations, more people, more time. Businesses working in a low-trust environment incur attacks. Everything they do costs more. Trust not only eliminates that tax, it acts as a performance multiplier. Two studies quoted by Covey and Link found that high-trust organizations outperformed low-trust organizations and the market in general by almost 3 times. High-trust relationships amplify the engagement and innovation of all involved. Worrying less about hidden agendas frees the players to dig in and do the work. A chart showing the relationship between trust and happiness within countries shows a tight connection as well. Higher trust brings greater happiness. Trust is the difference between happiness, success, progress, and stagnation and misery. Gem number one for this week's article, balance propensity to trust with analysis. Quote, "Smart trust optimizes two key factors. One, a propensity to trust, and two, analysis." Comes from page 57. You've known both types. The gullible, trusting sort who's always taken advantage of, and the paranoid misanthrope who has their own mother sign a receipt. Most of us fall somewhere in between, with a strong leaning towards one or the other. Smart trust is not about balance, trusting enough but not too much. It is about trusting just as much as possible while keeping an eye on the downside. Getting the analysis right is the trick. Covey shows us 3 areas to analyze: opportunity, risk, and credibility. How great is the opportunity? Some outcomes are so worthwhile they warrant the risks which are necessary to get there. Other times, the risks are so great that no outcome validates them. Risk is where this often falls apart. Covey and co-author Link tell 2 brief stories, one about the commander of a nuclear sub who pointed out that they had regulations about everything, right down to using the bathroom. Nobody was about to change that, because if something goes wrong on a nuclear sub, the outcome can be a world-class disaster. On the other hand, newspaper companies accept the risk that when someone drops a quarter in the machine, they just might take 2 papers instead of 1. Newspapers probably recycle more than is stolen. Low risk, that. So, in your analysis, ask yourself, are we talking about nukes or newspapers? When the other party has credibility, that combination of character and competence, it intrinsically lowers the risk as well. For those of us who tend to trust first and ask questions later, learning this type of analysis is a practical tool. For those of us who have a low propensity to trust, the lesson is that we learn to trust by trusting. Monitor your analysis and balance the risks and opportunities. Weigh in the credibility of the other party. Begin with low-risk situations. Extend trust, even though it's uncomfortable. As you realize more opportunities, others' credibility will grow, as will your propensity to trust. Gem number two for this week's article, take the five actions of smart trust. Quote, five specific actions that remarkably, an incredibly diverse variety of high trust individuals, teams, and organizations from all over the world have in common. Comes from page 83. Covey and Link continue the tried and true method of giving us a list, a process, an overview of practical steps to improve our own quality of trust while simultaneously planting seeds of trust's benefit in the lives of those around us. They call these the five actions of smart trust. 1. Choose to believe in trust. The greatest benefit of smart trust is that it isn't credulity, blind trust. It allows us to have reasons to believe in the practical value of trust, to extend it to others, and to act in a trustworthy manner without undue concern about being taken advantage of. Believing in trust also means believing that most people are basically trustworthy. Again, smart trust shows us that to extend that trust with a minimal downside, growing our propensity to trust bit by bit, rather than requiring huge leaps of faith. When we understand the principles of smart trust, it is the obvious choice for leaders. Number two, start with yourself. Trust yourself. Self-doubt can be managed with smart trust principles. Give others a person they can trust. And this leads into the next two actions. Three, declare your intent and assume positive intent in others. Make it obvious to others what you're going to do and why. We all have an agenda. Make yours public, and others will see that your word and actions are aligned. Trust can't be earned by invisible actions. Assuming positive intent in others has been shown to be key in creating trustworthy behavior in others. Number four, do what you say you're going to do. Obvious, yes? Then why is it so rare? There are four options in the say-do matrix. Under-promising and under-delivering causes a gradual erosion of trust. Over-promising but under-delivering is the obvious trust-destroying action. Under-promise but over-deliver is a common business mantra, yet it leads to very slow trust growth. It's also a great way to be invisible. When we promise to achieve the minimum, nobody cares. The final option, promise and deliver, in the best case over-deliver, results in the greatest leaps in trust. Big promises stand out more than little ones. When we deliver, even over-deliver on those big promises, we enter the rarefied air of world-class trust. And finally, five, lead out in extending trust to others. Leaders, by definition, go first. Extending smart trust to others produces tangible results. It increases trust because we've created it when we extend it, and because it leads to reciprocity. Yes, extending trust involves risk. Multiple examples in the book show that the risks are actually usually less than we think. Zappos' 365-day guaranteed has resulted in increased business, not abuse and loss. Zane Cycles, one of the largest bicycle stores in the U.S., lets any customer take a bicycle for a test ride without asking for identification or collateral. Hot prospect for bike thieves, right? They're almost begging you to steal a bike, when in actual fact, the actual losses amount to 5 bicycles per year compared to 5,000 sold. If a $13 million business can extend trust, we can too. Trust is a very personal concept in my life. Born in a rural area of northern Wisconsin, I grew up in a home where we intentionally left our doors unlocked when we left home, in case a passing motorist broke down and needed shelter from life-threatening weather. We loaned things just because we were asked. We believed what we were told. As I grew up, I extended trust, but without analysis. Over time, experiences shifted me from a high propensity to trust to downright cynical. A decade ago, I decided that was no way to live and started my own quest for smart trust, though I didn't have the term back then. Covey and Link's books, both Smart Trust and The Speed of Trust, would have been a godsend 10 years ago. At least now I have the terminology, the science, and the evidence for smart trust. It's a happier way to live. It's a more productive way to live. How's your propensity for trust? Do you balance it with analysis? Are you practicing smart trust? This has been Actual Books Audio. My name is Chris Taylor, and we're discussing the book Smart Trust, written by Stephen M. R. Covey. The summary is written by Joel D. Canfield. We hope you enjoyed it.